Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. When I first understood that God was calling me to ministry, I was certain that God had dialed the wrong number. I was absolutely positive. I felt like that little recording you get when you call a wrong number. "We're sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please, Holy One, check your phone number and call again." But over time, I came to understand that God had been calling a lot, and maybe I just wasn't listening, or understanding, or getting the point. I can be a little dense sometimes. You see, I'd taken those aptitude tests that they give you in high school and even in early college, and the top three answers were always the same. They sometimes varied in order. And so in no particular order, they were attorney, clergy, and educator. Lawyer, pastor, teacher. Not knowing much really about any of them, as it turns out, I thought that I was far too moral to be the first. Far too immoral to be the second. And so I'd better be a teacher. And that's what I set out to do. I also was raised in a Catholic family. And in the Catholic Church, a big part, there's even perhaps a bigger deal, at least there was in my family, with confirmation and joining the church. It's like a huge thing. I'm the oldest grandchild. And so when I reached the age of confirmation, I rebelled and I said, "No, I am not going to do it. I'm not going to do it until I read the entire Bible for myself, cover to cover." Now, I have read the Bible, and I have read it cover to cover, but that's actually not the way I recommend reading it if you're trying to read it for the first time. And if you'd like some different suggestions for how to read it, I'm happy to help. That's probably not the best first approach, but I was determined to do it. And so, you know, being a 8th or 9th grader, I was supposed to enter the catechism to do confirmation. I was going to do this first. So when I left for college and I was packing up my room, I found my Bible shoved under my bed somewhere with the bookmark toward the beginning of Deuteronomy, which is impressive because it means that I made it through Leviticus and Numbers. But I got stuck in Deuteronomy, so I stopped there. And that's as far as I had made it on my own, and I went to college to be an educator, as far as I could tell. I didn't declare a major. Who needs that the first year? And I took Introduction to Education my second semester. You know, the first semester is all required stuff that you have to do anyway. But the second semester, I took Introduction to Education. And one night, it was Mardi Gras. I know because I was in my room reading my homework. I was that kid, that young woman. And it was Mardi Gras. I had Intro to Ed on Wednesday mornings. And so Tuesday night, I was reading my homework assignment for Introduction to Education. I was reading this textbook, and I'd read the same paragraph about four times and retained none of the content. And it was getting late, and I really just wanted to go to sleep so that I could go to class the next day. So I thought to myself, I am going to picture my goal. I'm going to envision myself as a teacher, and that'll give me the motivation I need to read this silly homework assignment so I can go to sleep. So that's what I did. I closed my eyes. I pictured myself as a teacher. Now, I was really specific because I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a high school English teacher, teaching Shakespeare. I love Shakespeare. I really do. I had the complete works of William Shakespeare, and I brought it with me to college. It got more play than my Bible, I promise. And it's bigger, too. And I had the complete works of William Shakespeare. And so in my vision, I was before my classroom, that semi-captive audience of listeners. And I had my tome of the complete works of William Shakespeare, its pages as thin as onion skins, open in front of me. You know, the history is not so exciting to me, but the drama, the tragedy, the comedy, the romance, how we can see and learn about the time and place in which it was written, the glimpse of the author's mind we have as we read it, and most importantly, how these words, after centuries, can come alive, be relevant to us, speak to us again. This is what I wanted to do and to be. And so I closed my eyes and I pictured myself in my dream job, and I felt nothing. It did not motivate me. It did not give me the impulse I needed to finish my homework, that's for sure. And in that moment, I had all of the existential angst and terror that an almost 19-year-old can have when their entire vision of what they want to be for their life disintegrates in front of their eyes. And I thought, oh God, now what? Maybe that was a prayer and I didn't even know it. Because I'm a rational person. And all of my rationalism and all of my explanation cannot account for what happened next. I won't say I heard a voice, it wasn't quite like that. But a thought skittered across the back of my brain. It was kind of like when you see a sign, a marquee sign in a bus station or a train station, and the words scroll across the sign. It was like that. And it just kind of skittered across the back of my brain, and the thought said, I'm quoting directly, "No, dummy, you heard wrong. I didn't say teacher. I said preacher. Picture yourself as a preacher." Now, my entire life vision for myself has just disappeared into thin air in front of me. I am literally up for anything. And so I said, okay, fine. And I pictured myself as a preacher. The classroom disappeared, replaced with a sanctuary. Still a semi-captive audience of listeners. But no truancy officer is going to come get you. If you want to leave, you may. On the lectern, now a pulpit before me, instead of the complete works of William Shakespeare, the Bible, its pages thin as onion skins open in front of me. The history, still not so interesting to me. But the drama, the tragedy, the comedy, it's there, the romance, the way we can see this glimpse into history, the way, if we're lucky, we can catch a glimpse of the mind of the author. And the way, most importantly, the way these old, old words, even older than Shakespeare, these old, old words can be relevant, meaningful, impactful, can change our lives even today. And I felt alive, and I felt excited, and I felt at peace at the same time, and I felt confused and nervous, and I felt like this was right. And then I felt, where did that come from? That wasn't my idea. Where in the world did that possibly... Ooh. Ooh. Now there's a thought. And then I did a very typical thing. I started to argue. Typical for me, typical for lots of people. I started to argue. I said, oh, no, hang on a second. I know that you're like the God of the universe and everything, and you're omniscient and all powerful and all that stuff, but I think you made a mistake on this one. You see, my roommate, she went to an all-Christian high school. She's here on scholarship from them. She's been going to church since she was an infant. She didn't, you know, stop attending church when she was in middle school with her family and, you know, it kind of fell away. She has read her Bible to cover, I'm sure of it, many times because she quotes it all the time. And I see her reading it in our dorm room. And it's really quite a common mistake. These dorm rooms are very small. She's only like 4 feet away. So I can understand, Holy One, your confusion, but I think you meant to call her. Fortunately or unfortunately, I knew enough about the Bible to know that that's what just about everybody says. Moses, I think you meant my brother Aaron. Jeremiah, but I'm only a child. Isaiah, I am a person of unclean lips. You really don't want me staying your word out of these lips. That's what we all say when God calls us. And so then I just started to laugh. I laughed so hard that most of my floor thought that I was drunk on Mardi Gras night, but I wasn't. I never did finish that reading assignment, although I did go to class the next day. The next day was Wednesday, was Ash Wednesday. And I realized that if I was going to take seriously this call, which I wasn't sure about, that I was going to need to find a new faith home. And so for Lent, I gave up the Catholic Church, which sounds like a good joke, but it's not. It was hard. They didn't appreciate it, the one I was going to, and my grandmother definitely didn't. But I set out to try to find a new faith community. That took me a long time, and living into this calling took me a long time. I did start reading the Bible again. I started over at Genesis. I didn't count what I had done 4 years ago. And I started over at Genesis. I did complete it. Cover to cover, it took a little under a year. When I got to the end of it, I wept. That's a whole nother story. But I wept when I reached the end. It took me another semester to really sink into this idea, so I did sign up for the philosophy of education in the fall semester. I liked that philosophy and religion stuff, but so I thought the philosophy of education, this would be good. I went to one class, went to the professor's office after, dropped the class, got a form, declared a major in philosophy and religion, and was done with that. It's a shiny, fun story, as you can tell. Probably I've told it a lot, any number of times. I've lost count. It's the fancy story. It's like Moses and the burning bush. It's really exciting. And it was only later, over the course of my journey, that I've come to discover that that is one moment when God called me, but that's not the whole story. Those aptitude tests, that was part of God calling me too. But what really got me was a picture that I found in an old photo album. Can you see that? That is not Ariana a couple of years ago with an Instagram filter on it. That's me. I'm probably 4.5 or 5. And I'm playing one of my favorite games. As you remember, I was Catholic, and so I'm doing what I understood to be communion. Juice was optional, it's wine, and it was optional, but sometimes I would have that too. So I'm dressed in my nightgown and bathrobe to look like a robe, and I've taken a piece of bread out of the refrigerator, and what I would do is I would smush it really flat because we use those communion wafers that are really thin, and I am breaking bread. Sometimes I would get the cup from the bathroom. I remember it was bright yellow, and I would go, if we had some, I'd get grape juice. See, I was a really good Methodist even then. And I would add grape juice to the mix. But again, both elements are not necessary. In the Catholic Church, just the bread. And I am serving communion to my stuffed animals. I refound this picture in a family photo album after I had changed my major. After all of that, that decision-making, that discernment had taken place in the big, exciting way, and I thought immediately of this passage from Jeremiah. Before you were born, I called you, or at least when you were 4 or 5. Because the calling in my life has been happening for at least that long, probably longer, and I have no way of knowing it. When I went to seminary, I found that certainly less than half, I'd say about one-third of the people who were in seminary with me who knew they wanted to be pastors. So first of all, there are a whole bunch of people in seminary who are not studying to be pastors. They're studying for other things. But the people who knew they wanted to be pastors, about a third of them had a story kind of like mine. A story of hearing a voice or seeing a vision, of being woken from their sleep and being certain about what they wanted to do. But the other two-thirds or so had no such story. Some of them had old pictures from photo albums. Some of them just remembered growing up in church their whole lives and being incultured into the life and ministry of the church. Some of them weren't entirely sure how or why they'd come to this place, but there were all these little nudges along the way. And I find we do folks a tremendous disservice if we lift up only the shiny, funny stories about calls to ministry, and we ignore those stories of the quiet moments of our childhood and young adulthood when God is calling us. I also find that we do lay people a disservice if all we do is lift up the stories of clergy called to ministry, people called to be pastors, people called to be teachers and workers in the community, elders and deacons, local pastors. Those stories of ministry, if that's all we lift up, we have done a disservice. Because people in robes or bathrobes, as the case may be, are not the only ones that God calls. God calls all of us. All of you are here for a reason. All of you participate in this church and its ministries for a reason. And most, if not all of you, do something in addition to just showing up and sitting here, right? We all do more than that. Even if it's bringing food for a collection or giving to a ministry or mission, but we have passions, we have gifts, we have callings that we live out in our faith, in our lives as the people of this church and this community. And that's a calling. There may not be a flashy story, although there may be that too. Maybe you have a story of a moment when you knew. You knew that you were called to a particular ministry. You felt at home in a particular church. Or maybe you have a story of your development over time and the people who nurtured you and guided you through the course of your life so that you could be the minister for Christ that you are today. But we all have those stories. And our temptation is to say, well, my story's not good enough. Or my call isn't strong enough. Or, I'm sorry, God, your call cannot be completed as dialed. But when we say that, it's our call that we're not completing. The call that God has placed on us. Because as wonderful as that call is, and those stories are, and I hope to hear some of your stories, and I'm going to be asking some of you if you would share some of your stories in the days and weeks ahead. As wonderful as those stories of calling are, the real journey, the real excitement happens when we answer and see what God has for us next. Amen.